Good morning, everybody. I'm Nikki, for those of you who don't know me. But I felt like God was really laying on my heart something when Brian was going through this section of Acts. And so he asked me if I could share. So we're going to start today with the church on the move, Acts 8, 9 through 25. So if you will join me in reading that along, I'd love to have you with me. Let's go. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and the great miracles Philip performed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on the people, he offered them money to buy this power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." "Pray to the Lord for me," Simon exclaimed, "that these terrible things you said won't happen to me." After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. Okay, well, in reading that scripture, it really kind of struck me as something we even see today. And so there was one element of this passage that I really wanted to share. And it's talking about the Great One. Now, to everybody, this sorcerer was known as the Great One. And you can see that he was called that in verse 10. And they listened closely to him because they thought that he was a man of God. He had to have this kind of power, right? So Simon was a sorcerer, and he was basically what we would consider a big shot, a big wig, especially in this area to where the people were not necessarily accepted by the rest of the world. You see, the Samaritans were a mixture between Jew and Gentile. They didn't really have a place except for among their own people. In fact, if you consider them in terms of an animal, a dog, they would be considered a mutt, a mixed breed. That's the way that the people saw them, not the way that we should see them. But in Samaria, they basically were on their own. They were cast outs and castaways. So this sorcerer found his own place among them. He basically was top dog. So all these people were following him. They were listening to him. But lo and behold, the apostles come along and they start sharing this news. And so Simon starts getting, I'd say a little iffy on his power. He thought maybe he didn't have such a hold anymore. So what you see is what we're going to call the saved one. Now, Simon saw all of his friends, all of these people that he thought he had a hold over, they were becoming saved. Now, I don't know what was in Simon's heart, but I feel very comfortable in saying that whenever he claimed to be saved, he wasn't. And I say that because he had power over these people. He felt that the apostles were coming in and they were almost usurping him. They were taking the power away that Simon had because everybody looked up to him and thought that he was this great man of God. So here are the apostles saying all these things and people are following them now. And so maybe his power was slipping. And I'd say it was slipping a lot. So he wasn't necessarily finding where he was top dog anymore. Maybe he was kind of in the shadows. Maybe he was in the background now. So I would say that he almost succumbed to peer pressure in order to maintain or regain his power. So one thing that we do see is that all of the other Samaritans were doing it. All of the other Samaritans were believing in God and believing that Jesus was Christ, was God's son. So Simon did too. He fell into the trap of peer pressure. And I think the trap of his own thoughts of he had to do this in order to maintain power. Now, we come to this part. And I know that there are a lot of people that may have different opinions on it. But I find this a lot in today's world, especially in the Christian world, where they see their friends do it. And they think that because their friends are getting saved, that maybe they have to be saved. But it's not necessarily being baptized and believing. You have to have that relationship with Christ in order to be saved. And so Simon here is missing a huge part of it. He's doing it because everybody else is doing it, and he's not seeing exactly why he's doing it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. He also thought that if he professed to be a believer, that would be his golden ticket. And we'll discuss that because Simon, then you can see in this, wasn't just the great one, and he wasn't just the saved one. He was the jealous one. So have you ever done something just because other people were doing it? Because I know I have, and it normally leads to really stupid decisions. But one big thing about Simon that we see here is that he was doing all of this because other people were. He was doing all of this to maintain his power. But he was also doing this because he was quite jealous of the apostles. If you think about it, he saw them performing this miracle, or all of these miracles, that he'd never been able to do before. And so, of course, it kind of seemed a little funny as to, how are they doing that? Well, maybe since I'm saved now, they'll tell me how they're doing that. Or maybe since I profess to be a Christian, I can do that now. So Simon's decision, I feel, was almost multifaceted. It was for him to gain the power and kind of go along with his peers. But it was also for him to become as great as an apostle. See, Simon already thought he was such a bigwig. He already thought that he was capable. And so why in the world would the apostles not let him into this trade secret? So I feel like for Simon that the idea of being able to perform these miracles, and especially laying on hands, was a golden ticket. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a culture of like the best movies ever, and Willy Wonka was one of those that was redone, and I prefer both of them. I can't choose between the first one and the second one because they're so different. But the biggest thing about it was the golden ticket. And Everybody loves the golden ticket. Everybody wants the golden ticket. It has a power and prestige and the most amazing things imaginable for the people that win them. So I want to show you a little clip, and it's from the newer Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And it just shows how much people wanted this golden ticket. And we'll talk about it in just a minute.
The nerve of some people.
I know. Forging a ticket, come on. Wonka's last golden ticket! In my shop, too! Listen, I'll buy it from you. I'll give you $50 and a new bicycle.
Are you crazy? I'd give him $500 for that ticket. You want to sell me your ticket for $500, young man?
That's enough of that. Leave the kid alone. Listen, don't let anyone have it. Take it straight home. You understand?
Thank you.
So in that clip, we see how everybody was so excited to see that golden ticket. Charlie knew the value of it, but at the same time, everybody else thought that they could buy it. They had to have it. It was something that they needed, and they'd give him anything for it. They'd give him a new bike. They'd give him loads of money. I just see them being like Simon, because he had money. He had everything he could ever want. He was top dog. And he saw salvation and the apostles' abilities as a possession. He saw them as a golden ticket and not for what they actually were. He had money. He had fame. And he wanted more. He wanted more. But don't we see that today with everything? I know I do, because you know, I get a new pair of shoes. I'm not going to lie. I'm a shoe addict. And I get a new pair of shoes. But, you know, there's always that other pair that I didn't get that maybe is waiting in the corner and I still want it. And maybe I'll get it next month. Well, yeah, it's kind of like that. So he had all this money and he had all this fame. But he didn't have what the apostles had. And that was the ability to do all of these miracles. And maybe he thought they were just tricks, kind of like he did with his sorcery. Maybe he thought they were just, sideshows, you know, like magicians. But at the same time, there were things he couldn't do. And so he saw that and he was like, you know, if I could do that, I could do a lot. And if I could perform that kind of sorcery and that kind of magic, I'd have these people under my hand. So he saw this, and I don't really think that Simon's heart was quite right with the Lord. And I know that we read the verses, but I kind of want to backtrack a bit. Because whenever he saw that all these people were doing it, it was peer pressure. And it was the idea of he could keep people under his hand. But his heart wasn't in it. And it was just a possession to him, and it was just a means to an end. And that's something that's really big, and you'll find that a lot with Christianity, is that a lot of people do it just because they're told to do it, or because they're expected to do it. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be done. It's supposed to be in our hearts, and it's supposed to be a relationship with God. And we weren't seeing that with Simon. If we did, I think that the end of this passage would be a whole lot different. And I know that the apostles saw it. But he saw salvations as a means to an end. Salvation, sorry. And he saw it to get more power. all this other Samaritans were getting saved, and he wanted in on this trade secret that the apostles had. So him getting saved was a way closer to being able to do what the apostles were able to do. So when he saw that the apostles were able to lay hands and call down on the Holy Spirit, oh, this just blew his mind. This was the ticket. This was the golden ticket to maintaining his wealth, his status. And he was willing to give up part of his wealth for that. Because if he didn't have this, he didn't have anything. That's the way he probably felt, I would imagine. And he saw his own salvation as a way to keep this up and keep his prestige up. And the apostles came in and threatened to uphold his hold upon these people. These people that he had found a place with. Because it wasn't like they were respected by any other group of people, were they? No, they weren't. They were their own group. So Simon was able to keep a hold on for so long because, you know, he was there. He was able to be a part of them, be one with them. So the apostles had to be this huge threat to him. You've got to imagine that. But he was willing to do whatever it took to maintain that hold. That's not what we want to see in a relationship with Christ. You know, when you're in that relationship, you're in it. It's not between you and somebody else. It's not between... Sorry, my dog's going crazy over here. It's not between you and your spouse. My relationship with God is not my relationship with my husband. My relationship with God is my relationship with God. But the apostles saw through Simon's front. And we'll see that because when Simon said, "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that I may lay hands on people and receive the Holy Spirit." The apostles knew right then what he was in it for. I'm sure they suspected, but they knew it right then. And Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and they are held captive by sin." See, he wasn't the great one. He didn't have a relationship with God. He wasn't a godly person. He wasn't the saved one. He was the jealous one. And because he was the jealous one, because that's what he was really after, he was actually the lost one. And you'll see in verse 24, and I found this huge, because after all this time, after the ability of seeing what the apostles have done, hearing the good news, this is what Simon said. "Pray to the Lord for me, that these terrible things you've said won't happen to me." See, Simon still didn't get it. Simon still did not understand what it was all about. He didn't think that he could talk to God. He didn't think that there was anything between him and God. He thought it had to be a conduit through the apostles in order to have that relationship. And that bugs the heck out of me. Oh my goodness. Because if we don't have that, what do we have? If we don't have that relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what do we have? Our possessions? Is that really something we want to lean on? Yeah, I like my shoes, but they're not going to save me. Our money? Yes, it keeps a roof over our head. Does that give you eternal life? Does that give you the peace of Jesus in your heart? See, Simon still didn't get it, even in verse 24. He still thought that he had to have a connection through the apostles. He still didn't have that connection with God. if he had a connection with God and had been saved in the first place, rather than just doing it because he thought he had to do it, he would understand that he could ask God for the forgiveness. See, we make mistakes. We make stupid decisions. Oh my goodness. But we still can ask for forgiveness. We still can repent. And Simon didn't even get that. He didn't get that if he was a child of God. That, yeah, his question about can he pay for this would have been forgiven. His issues with becoming saved and doing it for the wrong reasons would have been forgiven. Simon still couldn't grasp how he could actually have a relationship with God. And that's so sad, because all he saw was this golden ticket, a way to have a means to an end. And he did not see the value, the truth and the value in having been saved and not just saying he was saved. It's huge, because how many times do we see that in life? How many times do we see that people claim to be believers and then go about their lives every day like, I don't know, just that they're not? It's heartbreaking. Because the truth is right in front of them. The truth was right in front of Simon. And he couldn't even grasp it. Instead, he saw himself. He saw him as the Lord of his life. He saw his money and his power as the end-all be-all. And in truth, I'm very sorry for Simon. It almost breaks my heart to read this. Because he missed it. It was right there. All he had to do was ask. Truthfully ask. Not just say that he asked and, oh, well. All he had to do was ask. And for you, that's all you have to do too. If you don't believe, just ask. And it'll be given to you. I'm going to turn it over to Brian. And I believe that we're going to another song with Michelle. But thank you all for being here today. And if you have any questions, feel free to message us and post anything in the comments. But thank you.
The song I'm going to sing is called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
It's the last one.